This evening we'll be continuing our look at Psalm 119. Edgar and I didn't plan it that way. It just happened that he would begin the first eight verses and I would proceed as my series is in its second part. So this evening we'll be singing from or reading from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9. That's found on page 650 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In all the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, we know that we are not equal to the task of understanding completely your word. And so we pray your spirit would guide us as we examine your word this evening. Lord, that you would be pleased to write your word upon our hearts and upon our minds, that we may recall it not only in that time of need, but Lord, in those opportunities you afford us to speak of our King and offer a word of encouragement to a brother or sister around us in their time of need. Lord, guide and direct us that we might go forth from this place better able to serve you. And Lord, as we study your word, may our hearts well up to overflowing with thanksgiving for this treasure that you have left to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this portion of the psalm begins with a question that paints a very vivid picture of the realities of sin. The psalmist begins by asking, how can a young man keep his way pure? We read into that question that a cleansing is absolutely necessary. And his question speaks to the reality of sin and the daunting thought of the immensity of the task that exceeds our own ability to remedy of our own strength or wisdom. God's word speaks to us, to all of us, men and women, young and old alike. And we can recall, as we've studied books like the book of Genesis in chapter 6, which reminds us of how great that rot of sin was that permeated us, and that aids us in better appreciating the scope of our need as those who were born in sin, dead in our transgressions, in need of a Savior. The singular route which is available to mankind is also spoken to in this verse, that unless the creature know and adhere to the lovingly revealed word, he would find himself continuing in this situation of death and misery. Now, the first thing that the psalmist would have us do would be guard one's life according to God's word. And so the psalmist begins in this verse by thinking in terms of a young man. And there is significance here of this question. How might a young man keep his way pure? You see, I certainly can remember being a young man myself, and if there is something that tends to mark most young men, it is that they have a tendency to overestimate their abilities and underestimate danger. Even if you've been blessed with many years of life in Christ, it's easy for you to look back at our wanderings prior to, and even to a lesser degree after, Christ was pleased to draw us to himself. And oftentimes, as we look back on those memories, we shake our heads in shame at just how often we acted like young men. impetuous, short-sighted, self-serving. We recall how much we thought we knew and understood, and the false confidence with which we ran through life. And now, after many lessons and reflection, we marvel at God's patience, His protections, and now are more readily predisposed to wait upon His guidance. And these are the things that are in the mind of the psalmist as he is meditating upon God's word throughout Psalm 119. You see, in our spiritual youthfulness, we tended to underestimate our enemy. We underestimated his devices. We had a tendency to think of ourselves as more able and strong than we truly were and are. Perhaps another way to picture ourselves in our youth is that we tended to rush onto the battlefield in our pajamas rather than having been outfitted by the provision of God's revelation, that full armor of God. And we can look throughout the Old Testament and see time and time again examples of this. We can see this in the life of David. If you recall David's encounter with Nabal, when David went after having provided adequate and very faithful protection for all of Nabal's shepherds, and he asked for supplies at the time of the shearing, Nabal rebuked him and turned his servants away. And David demonstrated a bit of youthfulness. He quickly turned and threatened all of Nabal's household with death. And had it not been for that one whom the Lord used to stay his hand, who would later be his wife, he might have demonstrated that youthfulness in quite atrocious ways. Or a New Testament example we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Peter pulls that sword and cuts off the ear of the Roman guard. Peter, too, was impetuous. Peter, too, thought that by his own strength he might be able to change the course that Christ himself had already told them was to come about. Elsewhere in God's word, he's been pleased to preserve within his word other examples which also attest to the futility of our thinking and the rashness of our responses in the midst of trials. For example, think of one like King Saul, who, though he knew the law of God, we read that passage earlier in Deuteronomy of the responsibility that every king had to write out the law of God in total and then to meditate upon it all of the days of his rule. So here was Saul. Saul knew the law of God. Saul had written down the law of God. And yet we see in King Saul, though he was familiar with the law, it wasn't what was guiding him in his reign. And we saw this after the defeat of the Amalekites. We see Saul taking matters into his own hand and acting by his own wisdom and carrying out that sacrifice which Samuel had told him to wait until he arrived. So rather than act in accord with the instruction from God that he had been given, he went ahead and acted of his own accord. Or toward the end of Saul's reign, when he faced overwhelming odds on the battlefield, he disregarded God's prohibition of the use of soothsayers and instead himself sought out the witch of Endor. Now, while the use of young man can denote a tendency to foolishness, there's also a positive aspect found within this question. That is that training and course correction is possible. The psalmist asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he says, by guarding it according to your word. And so we often will hear people speak about the difficulties associated with teaching an old dog new tricks. So here, God would have us realize the wisdom of attending to His Word today, rather than putting it off to tomorrow. And each of us can recall those wonderful cloud of witnesses that God has lovingly placed around us, whose lives show the effects of a lifetime of hungering after and actively applying the Word of God to all areas of life. And so He would have us guard our lives by His Word. Secondly, we see here that the psalmist cries out for help. The psalmist is under no illusion that he has the capability himself to understand these things fully. He cries out to God to teach him His statutes, to teach him His ways. He says here, "Blessed are You, O Lord, teach me Your statutes." Having identified our typical failings to identify need and dangers, the psalmist recognizes rightly that we must be acted upon. It's beyond our personal abilities to remedy. In verse 10, we see that call that God would be his teacher. And we can hearken back to the example of the Pharisees. The Pharisees themselves took great pride in their head knowledge of the law of God. They could perhaps be likened to Bible trivia experts. Sadly, though, their knowledge of the law of God wasn't accompanied by a humble heart that recognized its own limitations and inabilities. Here, God, through the psalmist, is plainly laying out the type of son or daughter that he desires, one whose whole heart seeks after God. Just a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to study Pilgrim's Progress with our former pastor, Steve Miller. And in that classic, we followed the life and journey of Christian as he made his way to the celestial city. Along the way, there were times where he left the path, thinking another path might prove easier or faster, only later to find himself in harm's way or ensnared. So here, the psalmist pleads with God that he might keep his feet securely upon the path laid out by Christ, and that his eyes might be focused upon God's commands. Whereas we each can be tempted to seek a selectively read, and apply God's word where it might be most comfortable. In verse 11, however, this man of God has committed himself to the study of and memorizing of all the instructions of God. His desire is that his entire life might be transformed. You see, he began by understanding how darkened man's heart is in sin. He understands how young men are given to being impetuous and rushing into danger. And so he demonstrates he doesn't trust himself. He trusts in God alone. And so he is crying out that God would keep his focus upon his word. The right inclination of the heart of the psalmist is desirous of walking rightly before God and sensitive that he would not sin knowingly or unknowingly against God. Yet this believer realizes he cannot accomplish the level of knowledge or application without these things being taught him by God himself and without the work of the Holy Spirit within him. And so what is it that he hopes will be the result of this guarding of one's life by the Word of God and by having our Heavenly Father as his teacher? Well, we see that in the latter part of this psalm. He gets to verse 13, and he understands that as God would be pleased to transform his life, that his lips will declare all the rules of the mouth of God. As God is pleased to write his law upon our hearts and our minds, as we grow in our understanding of what it is he would have us do and what it is that he has done for us, our tongues are unleashed, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. And we look at those around us who continue to walk in darkness and see their need and desire that they too might know the hope of Jesus Christ that we have so enjoyed. He says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. You see, the aim of his heart is not the common aim of man. Man has a tendency to pursue his own desires, to pursue riches. But here the man of God who has experienced the grace of God and who is beginning that journey through the Word of God grows in his appreciation of that Word and sees it as the greatest treasure that God has ever been pleased to present to him. Because it shines a light upon our Heavenly Father. It shines a light upon His good purposes. It reminds us of His patience with us, even when we were in our sin. And it reminds us of His love, that He would send His only begotten Son to be that great sacrifice for us, that we might enjoy life where once only death would reign. Verse 15, I'll meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I'll delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. When my mother was serving as a nurse in a health department, one of the things that she would do, they had a hospice unit, is she would take the Psalm CDs from Crown and Covenant to each of those hospice patients. And many of those hospice patients that were in their 80s and 90s had some familiarity with the Psalms, because many churches in less than 100 years ago were actively incorporating the Psalms into their worship services. But many of God's people also have often meditated heavily upon the Psalms. And she found that those were precious to each of those patients that she had opportunity to serve. And it was amazing at how hearing those Psalms sung would cause the patients to recall God's word. It had been written upon their minds. It had been written upon their hearts. And then in their time of need, in their time of distress, when they were prompted by the singing of those psalms, they would come flooding back, and the comfort that God's people would feel. Well, that is the sense of the psalmist here. He delights in the word of God. He doesn't see it as a shackle. He sees God's law, God's word, His commands, His statutes as an explanation of all of those things which God intended from the very beginning to be the duty of man. And that God has lovingly preserved for us that we might know how we might go about day by day of this life that He's given to us to serve Him and to glorify His name and to be His ambassadors in a very needy world. And it's my prayer as we go forth from this place that God will bring this portion of His word to our minds, that we might see those opportunities God would afford us in the coming week to speak to those co-workers, those neighbors, those family members who are in need. Or perhaps even for one of our saints that may be struggling in health, to remind them of these words, that they might come flooding back and they might be comforted from the word of God as this psalmist himself is comforted. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again for your word, for this wonderful psalm of meditation that gives us so many reasons for why we ought to be exploring and studying and meditating upon your word day in and day out. Lord, give us to the study of your word. May we hunger after it, just as this psalmist has written. Lord, may we guard our lives by your word. For we know that all of those things which you have kept and preserved within your word are intended for our good, that we might grow in our knowledge of you and in our service of you in all areas of life. And so, Lord, may we see how your word frees us to follow you in a fashion that would be glorifying to your name. Lord, continue that work which you have begun within us. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Use us for your purposes and for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.